1900, April 26th, 1900. God's Word, Our Study Book, Ellen G. White. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And he went down with them, and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and man. Let the brightest example the world has yet seen be your example, rather than the greatest and most learned men of the age who know not God, nor Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. The Father and the Son alone are to be exalted. Their holy banner is to be exalted above all the greatness of the greatest men, above all the honor and glory of the world. The cross of Christ, how many believe it to be what it is? How many bring it into their studies and know its true significance? There could not be a Christian in our world without the cross of Christ. Then keep it before the schools as the foundation of all true education. Turn from the examples of the world. Cease to extol the professedly great men. Turn the mind from the glory of everything save the cross of Christ. Said Paul, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let all, from the highest to the lowest, understand what it means to glory in the cross of Christ. That cross is to be bravely and manfully borne. Christ declares, He that will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And to all who will lift it and bear it after Christ, the cross is a pledge of the crown of glory that can never fade away. The most essential lessons for students to obtain are those that will point them to straight paths which lead not to the world, but from the world to the cross of Calvary. Their studies should be of that character which will make them most successful in the service of God and enable them to walk in the footsteps of Christ. This is the highest science that we can learn, the science of salvation. The cross of Calvary, rightly regarded, is true philosophy, pure and undefiled religion. It is eternal life to all who believe. By painstaking effort, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little, it should help impressed upon the minds of students that the cross of Christ is just as efficacious now as in Paul's day, and should be as perfectly understood by them as it was by the great apostle who could declare, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Christ was crucified for fallen man, but to many who call themselves Christians, this event is nothing. In practice, they deny the cross of Christ. They know it not, they glory not in it. They admit that Christ died on the cross, but because there is a crucifixion for them to experience, they will not receive the lessons that lead to self-denial and self-sacrifice. They are Christians in name only. The central point of their faith is not a crucified and risen Savior who brings to all who will receive him the privilege of being sons and daughters of God. Students, study the Scriptures. Know that the only thing in which you can safely glory is that which will open to you the gates of the city of God. Learn from the Word of God how to form characters fitted for the country you are seeking. Know that Christ is to be set forth among you, and that all that was lost in Adam, the cross of Christ fully restores to every believing soul. Then your testimony will be, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Mrs. E. G. White, October 4th, 1900. God's Temple, Ellen G. White. Young men and women, heed the charge that is given to you through the Apostle Paul. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Again Paul says, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. We are to do everything under a sense of our personal accountability and responsibility before God. The whole treatment of the physical organism has an effect upon the life of the soul. The condition of the body has a close relation to the life of Christ in the heart. One asks, may I not do as I choose with myself? Is not my body my own? No, for the Lord has bought us. Our bodies are the members of Christ. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. God condemns every sinful, defiling practice.
Mrs. E. G. White, October 18, 1900. Offer unto God thanksgiving. Ellen G. White. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou Most High. We should ever remember that thanksgiving is the fruit of true, willing obedience. The Lord is the object of our worship, and to praise his holy name shows respect for his efficiency. He says, "Whose offereth praise glorifieth me." Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith relies upon God as being able and willing to save to the uttermost all who come to him. As we speak of God's power, we show that we appreciate the love that has been constantly shown us, that we are grateful for the mercies and favors bestowed on us, and that the whole soul is awakened to a realization of God's glory. The absence of praise and thanksgiving pleases the enemy of God, and the line of demarcation between those who utter the holy name of God in blasphemy and those who praise him with heart and with voice is clear and distinct. He who is truly converted will glorify God as he beholds the wonderful things of his creation, the brightness of the sun, moon, and stars, the changing beauty of the heavens. To him, all nature will declare God's mighty power. He will be led to give glory to his holy name. Isaiah tells us what God is doing for us. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord God, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shittah tree, and the myrtle, and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree and the pine and the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this, and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. What greater encouragement and assurance than this could the Lord give his loyal, commandment-keeping people,
Is it not our duty to show the world that we appreciate the love of Christ? As we produce the fruit of thanksgiving, we bear living evidence that by connection with Christ, we are placed on vantage ground. God is the fountain of life and power. He can make the wilderness a fruitful held for those who keep His commandments, for it is for the glory of His name to do this. Thus, He witnesses to Christianity. He has done for His chosen people that which should inspire every heart with praise and thanksgiving, and it grieves Him that so little praise is offered. He desires to have a stronger expression of praise from His people, showing that they know they have reason for manifesting joy and gladness. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. As the grace which is in the soul flows out to others, more grace flows in to be given back to God in willing offerings. The people of God need to be aroused to let their light shine forth. Christ said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." God's people should be an animated people, filled with joy and gladness because they behold Him who is invisible to the eyes of the world. Our tongues should be used to express the appreciation in our hearts for God's goodness. Thus God requires us to return to Him gratitude offerings. But this is not the only way in which we are to praise God. We are to praise Him by tangible service, by doing all we can to advance the glory of His name. By improving our entrusted talents, we are to offer thanksgiving to God. Mrs. E. G. White.